Good to see you all today. My name is Matthew. If we haven't met yet, welcome to North Langley Community Church. And I am just so grateful for our global outreach team, the GO team. And thank you guys so much for presenting here, for introducing us to our global workers. Just so you know, this team is made up of all volunteers who give of their time to make sure that our global workers, global mission workers around the world feel cared for, feel loved, feel supported. And not just financially, like when there's financial needs, they try to meet them, but also just in prayer and in friendship. Some of you who have lived around the world, maybe you felt far from home, and there's a sense of a relationship that needs to be built. And so our GO team, our global outreach team, does that work. And so anyway, we're really grateful. Thank you. If you're like me, like as a Christian, we can have our mind, like our eyes down, so focused on our own life, on what's happening in the present, about my own needs, right? And we forget what God is doing around the world. Like, listen to Nasser. God has not left Afghanistan, right? And if there's any kind of overlap between our series that we just came out of, The Politics of Jesus, and this Mission Sunday today, it's that governments come and go. All kinds of governments come and go. And political leaders come and go. Prime ministers come and go. Presidents come and go. Kings and queens come and go. But the kingdom of God remains. God is not done with our world. He's not done with Afghanistan. He's not done with Canada. He loves us, and his kingdom is growing, and his church is growing, made up of all nations in the world. And the beautiful thing is, when you watch the news, doesn't matter if it's right-leaning, left-leaning media, whatever, just whenever there is talk of nations, and when you have this idea of like everyone in a nation thinks a certain way, just remember, anytime a nation is mentioned on the news, there are people in that nation who love Jesus, and there's a church in that nation, and people who are interceding for that nation, praying for that nation. So just remember, God, his people are all over the globe, and we are one family, brothers and sisters all across the globe. So that was a joy to get to interview him. Did you hear that? After 3 months, 63 people joined their house church movement. After several years, 450 people were part of these house churches. Now thousands worshiping Jesus. And the training of pastors, it's beautiful. Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, I am hearing beautiful stories happening in Iran of thousands and thousands of people coming to know Jesus in Iran. It seems like a revival is happening in that nation. And it's so important to hear these stories. You and I, for us to pray, to support, to encourage our brothers and sisters around the world. Nasser said this, he says, our message stays the same. Did you hear that? Our message stays the same. For 2,000 years, no matter what nation we're a part of, our message stays the same. It's what we call the Great Commission. When Jesus was ascending back up to the Father, he looked at his followers and he says, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus' commitment to his people is he is with us. He is giving us courage and strength to continue to share his good news so that the world would know him. This is what today is all about. That's what Mission Sunday is all about, is that we are a people on mission. And Jesus wants the world to know him and to love him. He wants the world to know his life-changing power. And today's scripture verse is Romans 10, 13 to 15. Let me read it. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord. Did you hear the good news? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. One of my friends who I love deeply, he went through a very difficult moment a couple years ago. He found himself in a moment of darkness and anxiety and profound lostness. He had followed Jesus intentionally as a child and as a teenager. But for the last like 20 years or so, he just had not really followed Jesus. And he felt further and further from Jesus. But on this day, in this moment of excruciating pain, he was alone in his home. He told me, he said, "Matthew, I fell on my knees and I cried out to Jesus and I said, 'Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me.'" That's what he cried out. And he told me that it was shocking to himself, right, to hear him cry out in that way. But here was a seed that had been planted in his childhood and in his teenage years. And 20 years later, he falls on his knees. You and I have no idea the seeds that are planted as we share the good news of Jesus, how they come to grow fruit years later. But he falls on his knees. And even after years of not following Jesus, he knew that he could call on the name of Jesus. And he said he instantly felt this rush of healing overwhelm his body. He knelt down and he felt the love of God pour over him and give him life and save him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But the Apostle Paul continues, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? Paul is just being practical here. People can't call out to someone that they've never heard about. And people have to know that this is an option. People have to hear that calling out to Jesus for rescue and for healing and for life and for grace, for hope, for forgiveness, for the cleansing of sin. They have to hear that this is an option first. They have to hear it. So Paul's just being practical. Followers of Jesus need to see, first and foremost, you have been sent. You are a sent people. You are on mission to share the good news of Jesus. Back to Nasser's story. How was Nasser able to hear the good news? Because followers of Jesus from South Korea, give it up for the South Koreans. Come on. Woo! I love it. Any South Koreans in the room? Let's hear a whoop whoop. Yeah, I love it. You like the 11 a.m. way more than the 9 a.m. There's a few of you at the 9, but way more at the 11. That's good. But our South Korean friends, like God has been using South Korean Christians to go all over the world as missionaries. It's powerful. And so these South Korean believers are in Kabul, Afghanistan, and they're sharing the good news with Nasser. So beautiful. At some point, those Christians in South Korea felt a call upon their life to move to Afghanistan, right? Those moments happen when we feel a call. I'm going to ask you today, if you feel a call yourself, whether it is to share your faith with your colleague or to move across the world, God can do anything. God is moving in our lives. Are we listening? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Feet. Why feet? Right? So how beautiful are the feet? You might be new to Jesus and you're like, we're talking about feet now. What is that about? See, we as Christians, we know the image, right? So we're already two steps ahead. But let's just pause. Why feet? Well, at this time, the Apostle Paul knew that in the Roman Empire, there would be people who would almost, they're kind of like delivering the mail. They would run into a city, and on behalf of the Caesars, on behalf of the Empire of Rome, they would announce good news. You know those like old school, like unroll the, you know, scroll and be like, hear ye, you know? It's like that idea. They run into a city and they say, good news. Caesar just defeated, you know, just won a war in Northern Europe or something, right? Good news, the emperor has a child who will one day be our emperor, right? So they run carrying the good news, but they're running, right? And they run into a town and they share what was called in Greek, the euangelion, right? It's where we get the word evangelism, to share the good news. It's just the good news. And so this idea of a picture of somebody running into a city to deliver good news. This is the picture. This is why feet are beautiful, because they run with the good news. And we have good news. For the Son of God has given his life for the sake of the world. And we announce the cleansing of sin, the forgiveness of sin, new life because Jesus rose from the dead. We have this great news upon our lips. At Christmas, we announce that the emperor, the new emperor, has been born. King of kings, Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Your feet take you every day into a workplace. Your feet take you into a workplace, into a school, into a community center, into a bank, into a family, into the lives of children, into a hospital, into a senior's home. I could go on. The feet of our global workers have taken them around the world. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Right now, see the faces of the people in your life, your colleagues, your coworkers, your family, your friends, your neighbors, those you go to school with. See their faces. You know their stories. You love these people. You work alongside them. You study alongside them. You live near them. And your feet take you into their life every day. Do they know that they can call on the name of the Lord? Do they know that? I am certain that all of us in the room are doing our best to live like Jesus, to live lives that look like Jesus. I know it. I'm confident that we're all doing our best, right? But I want to ask, are we ever intentionally opening our mouth to share the good news of Jesus? Not just live the good news, that's really good to do, but to actually share it with our words. Listen to the Apostle Paul again. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? They have to hear it. At some point, they have to hear it. They can see it. It's beautiful. And just so you know, I'm all about seeing it, but they have to hear it. At some point, you and I, we're called, our feet take us into the places where we're at daily, and at some point, you and I have to open our mouth to share the good news, to share of the hope that we have found in Jesus. For a long time in Christian circles, there has been this popular quote that is said to have come from St. Francis of Assisi, and St. Francis of Assisi is said to have said, quote, "Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words." Now, I don't know if you're like me, but in the context that I've been in, this has been used to kind of say, hey, listen, you know, Christians are all about trying to talk a lot about the good news, but man, they really need to live it. And I just want to let you know, I'm like all for that idea. Like, I love the idea of living the good news of Jesus. Living the gospel, it's our second banner, right? That's what we're all about. We want to live it out. And so I agree that much of the truth we share will be in our actions. But I want to offer a couple thoughts about this. And I've critiqued this before, but it's been a couple years, so I need to re-critique it again, just in case we've forgotten. First of all, St. Francis never said these words. That's interesting. No biography of his life in the first 200 years after St. Francis contains this phrase at all. It's just not there. Secondly, St. Francis preached. He like loved preaching. He preached the gospel at all times and used very many words. He didn't just pet cute furry little bunnies while walking around with birds on his shoulders, right? Listen to Mark Galley, who describes Francis. Quote, "Francis began preaching early in his ministry. He usually preached on Sundays, sometimes preaching in up to 5 villages a day, often outdoors. In the country, Francis often spoke from a bale of straw or a granary doorway. In town, he would climb up on a box or up steps in a public building. He preached to serfs and their families, as well as to landholders, to merchants, women, clerks, and priests." Francis knew he was called to preach, to use words. Francis knew that Jesus had called him to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is it about how we live our lives? 100%. Actions, right? We say actions speak louder than words. But at some point, we need words for people to hear that they can call on the name of the Lord. And people won't call on the name of the Lord without someone communicating the good news that there is a God who loves them that you can cry out to, a loving Father we can cry out to, a Savior that we can call on who will cleanse us of sin, who will pour out his grace, who will lavish us with his love, who will set us free from the chains of our life. And when we share it, of course, we share it humbly, and we share it gently, and we share it lovingly, but we share it. We share the truth and the good news. You know, I've learned so much from my wife, Tanya. Tanya, we were friends for 3 years before we ever started dating, and she has this crazy love for people to hear the good news of Jesus. She just loves it. I know that I can make her cry if she hears a story about someone who's not a Christian who becomes a Christian. And not like I'm like trying to make my wife cry, but like I know that those stories bring a tear to her eye every time. She loves evangelism, like sharing the good news of Jesus. And the crazy thing is that I have learned so much from her. Like I've grown, like I've had a growing joy in my life because she has joy when she sees new people come to know Jesus. It's like infectious, and I've like caught on to that joy. And I've learned so much from her. And by the way, we get to share the good news of Jesus together. And I just want to tell you some good news. Yesterday, we had our Alpha weekend here. And in this room, 5 people gave their life to Jesus Christ for the very first time. It was so good. And the leaders at Alpha are just amazing. And this room was filled with the love of God. We just prayed for the Holy Spirit to come and move. And you know, there was prayers for people and people were encountering Jesus. We have an amazing prayer team that was praying. It was a beautiful day. But that joy of seeing people come to know the Lord, it's infectious. It's a great joy. I shared some stats with you back in September, and I want to share them again with you, because I feel like this will give us confidence that we can share with our words the good news of Jesus. And young adults in the room, let me give you some stats that I hope will specifically encourage you, young adults. A survey among college students in the UK was done with a little over 1,200 college students, both in 2022 and 2023. And what the survey found was encouraging. Now, 53% of students, when asked about their religious affiliation, identified as having no religion, right? But 74% of students who aren't Christians say they would go to church if a friend invited them. 74%. What did you think, like, before I shared that stat, what did you think the stat was? You're like, 1%, maybe? 3%, 3% chance that they're gonna say yes, right? 97% chance they're gonna say no. No, 74% of students who aren't Christians say they would go to church if a friend invited them. Listen to this one. 47%, so this is half of those who aren't Christians, would like to hear the story of Jesus. Half. You got a 50-50 chance when you're talking to a young adult from the UK that they'd wanna hear the story of Jesus. Now, if Canadian young adults are at all similar to young adults in the UK, and I think they are, think about what this means. You have a 74% chance your friend will want to join you at church. You have a 47% chance that they'll want to hear about Jesus. And that's just when they're being asked hypothetically in a survey. Think of what it will mean when it's you, someone they know and love and care about, who actually asked them to come. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, what's the next step? I have 3 just thoughts for the next step today. First of all, I would encourage us to support our global workers here. When you came in today, you saw these tables, there's these little cards. I'd encourage you to grab one of those cards, learn more about the ministry, the mission that they're a part of, reach out to them via email, be part of hearing the stories, pray for them, maybe as a family, commit to praying for them, but just pick one or two, and you can put that on your refrigerator. Just remember to, there's a sense of joy when across the world, people know that they're being encouraged and prayed for. And so that would be one idea. Now, number 2, I'd say this. Think locally. Think of the name, the face of the person that Jesus is asking you to share the good news with your words. They've been watching. They've seen how you've been living. They see how you are in the workplace. They see how you are in school. They've seen you in your neighborhood. But would you begin to pray and ask Jesus, Jesus, would you give me a chance, an opportunity where I could share with my words of the hope that I've found in you? Would you make that your prayer? I'd encourage you, take one, two names, whatever it is, and just pray. Pray for those, that one person, those two people, and say, God, I really would love to see them meet you. I want to let you know, our prayer team in a few minutes are going to be up here and in the prayer room. One of the things they would love to do today is for you to bring that name of that person with you, and they would love to pray for that person too, so that you're not praying alone, right? And you just say, this is a person that's on my heart. This is a person I'd love to pray for. Would you bring that name to them? They would love to pray about that person. Let me tell you something really practical. Starting next Sunday, March 9th, we are starting a new 7-week series that would be perfect to invite a friend who is new to Jesus to come to church, okay? And drum roll, wait for the title. Are you ready for it? It's really exciting. Here it is, Jesus. That's the title. I realized that in all the years I've been, I've never had a series called Jesus. Okay, so you're like, what? Okay, it's about Jesus. But it's 7 weeks on the road to Easter, right? So 7 weeks, Easter Sunday. We are looking at the 7 statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John where he uses the phrase, I am. So week 1, I am the bread of life. We're gonna figure out what that means. Week 2, I am the light of the world. Week 3, I'm the gate. Week 4, I'm the good shepherd. Week 5, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Week 6, I am the vine. And week 7, Resurrection Sunday, I am the resurrection and the life. So if you're looking for a series, you're like, I didn't want to invite my friend because Matthew's going to talk about politics. Just think, 7 weeks, pure Jesus, right? Pure Jesus. Your friend hopefully will like Pure Jesus series, okay? And so that's hopefully something you can do. And then finally, for some of us, we may be called to move, to go somewhere else in the world where you feel that God is stirring something inside of you to say, I wanna go to a place in the world where people need to hear the good news of Jesus. You know, whoever those South Koreans were who went to Afghanistan, they had a moment like this, right? They had a moment like this where they felt God moving in their life, that he would call them out of their comfort zone into a place. And it could be with a mission group. It could be Bible translation, right? It could be caring for the poor and the marginalized. It could be all kinds of things. It could also be you doing your job that you do here somewhere else where there's not very many people who know Jesus. I have friends in Morocco right now, and they're not with a mission organization. They just had the kind of jobs that they could do in Morocco, and so they just went and do it, and they're trying to just be the fragrance of Jesus in Morocco, right? You could do that. Are you a nurse? Are you a teacher, right? You know, what's your skill? Could you do that somewhere else and be the fragrance of Jesus in a place that doesn't know much about him? You know, if you're wondering, God, are you calling me to move out of my comfort zone somewhere else in the world? You can bring that to our prayer team. They would love to discern with you, to listen with you, to pray for you as you begin to ask that question. As we all know, we're on mission here. God loves Langley. God loves Surrey. And so that's non-negotiable. This is our mission field. But some of you may be called elsewhere. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Can you stand? We're going to worship Jesus together as we end our service. You know, 5 people yesterday gave their life to Jesus, and I'm wondering, are there some of you here today who have just come? You've come with a friend. You are new to Jesus as well. I want you to know today, you can call on the name of the Lord. Jesus, save me. Save me. Come into my life. Cleanse me of sin. Would you give me new life? I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead. I want to follow you. You can do that here today. And if you want to pray that prayer, our prayer team would love to pray with you. and it's what it means to become a Christian. And how beautiful if that were to happen here today. Jesus, we come to you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we thank you for what you are doing around the world. Thanks for opening our eyes to see what our brothers and sisters are walking through. And Jesus, we would ask that in this moment, you would call us. Show us the name, the face of the person in our life who needs to hear about you. Give us a passion to pray for them, to find a beautiful opportunity to share of the hope we have, God. For some of us in the room, we just pray, Holy Spirit, come. Would you speak clearly to us if we're called to leave our comfort zone and to go elsewhere, to carry your good news? Lord, would you come today? Would you come and speak? Lord God, we're listening. And we know there's a beautiful world of many who don't yet know that they can call upon you. And we pray that in the coming days, the coming months, coming years, we would see a beautiful revival of people who are coming to know you for the first time. We thank you for what you're doing around the world, but would you do that here in Langley? Would you do that here in Surrey? Would we see a beautiful amount of just thousands of people coming to know you for the very first time? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.